Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Father, we pray now that you'll be with the leaders of your flock in their needs today, that you would help your bishops and your priests to interpret the gospel message with clarity and urgency, witnessing in their own lives to the teaching and example of Christ. It is in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to St. Patrick's Church. Some of you I've seen recently, some of you I haven't, so if you have never been here before, welcome, and if you I haven't seen you in a while, welcome again. Good to see you. This is our third week of our Battle Plan series, in which we're learning God's strategies for how he's winning the battle against the enemy, for the destinies of our souls, and for the fate of the world. Today we're going to be spending some time in two places in the gospel, so if you can open your Bibles if you have them, swipe if you do that. If not, there is a handout that's been going out and the readings are on there also. If you're the type that like to mark up your Bibles though, if you want to turn to Mark chapter 9 and Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 9 and Mark chapter 1. In this country, in America, a person has to be a citizen in order to be able to access certain rights and to have their status recognized. And if they're not born here, there's a whole process that they have to go through in order to become a citizen. But you know what's even more amazing is the case of someone who is born here, but maybe just never went through the process. That person would still be an American. They're still born here in this country and are entitled to certain rights and are entitled to certain privileges. But until that status is revealed, they don't have access to it. But when their birth certificate is signed, their status as an American citizen is revealed. They're revealed as belonging to this country, and the country welcomes them with open arms, proclaiming, "You're mine. You belong here. We'll fight to protect you. And all that we have is yours. Live in our blessing and in our freedom here, because here is where you belong." Looking at Mark chapter 9, we're coming to this point in the gospel where Jesus' disciples are still kind of reeling. Because Jesus just told them for the first time that he wasn't going to be their new king in the way that they thought. He wasn't going to establish the nation of Israel back to its former glory, where it was the centerpiece of all of the Middle East. He revealed to them that everything that they thought they knew about him was gone. That he was going to have to die in order to achieve his purpose. And this is a scene that we have. Listen, and you can almost hear that the disciples are getting ready for that. They're like, well, if it's not going to work out the way that we thought, you're not going to be our king and you're going to die, let's make a succession plan. Who's going to go come next? Who's going to be the next Jesus? Who's going to do it? And you can hear this. Listen to verse 33. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. "Which one of us is going to take over your ministry when you die? It can't be all of us. There must be only one. There must be one head of this movement, because who's going to free our nation and restore us to greatness if you're dead? There can be only one." I had to do it. Anyone Highlander? No? Okay. And you can just imagine what's going through Jesus' head at this point. Here are these people. He just said he's going to die and be raised, and in that he will become their king for all eternity. And they don't believe it. Not really. Because if you believe someone's coming back, you don't start making plans to replace them. You don't start saying, well, I'd better be the one to take your spot. And just in case this whole Jesus thing, the whole God thing doesn't work out, I'm ready. I'm the greatest of us, and I'll be the backup plan. And so Jesus is thinking, yes, I'm going to die, but I just told you I would be alive again in 3 days. But isn't it interesting that he doesn't confront them with that? He doesn't say, you're wrong, you didn't get it, you don't understand, you're not great, I'm great, and you're not. He doesn't do that. He doesn't even teach them anything like that, but instead he begins to explain what real greatness is and who it is that belongs in the kingdom. Look at verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and the servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them and taking him in his arms. And I just want to stop right there because you know what's amazing? Is that when Jesus wanted to show his disciples what it means to be great, he went and got a little baby boy. The word there is paideion, which literally means infant. A little infant boy. Innocent. Filled with trust and not guile. Filled with holiness and not purity. Not deceit. Not pride. Filled with the very spirit and the character of our Father. You know, ever since my son was young, I've always had this kind of funky idea. Now, let me be very clear. This is not the church's teaching. This is just what I think. Okay? I want to be clear. Because ever since my son was a little boy, I'd see him in these weird spots. Like he'd be laying in his crib and he'd wake up, and every so often he wouldn't just start freaking out and calling for us. You know what I mean? And in those moments, he'd just lay there, and you could watch him, and he'd just start to coo. He'd be like, ah, ah. And then he'd start looking around, and he'd laugh. Have you guys ever seen this with your kids? Isn't it the most bizarre thing in the world? Like you'd expect, I'm not there. What are you laughing at? I'm not there. Who are you talking to? And you know what? I came to believe that the saints and the angels and God, before the children talk, are there with them. That God is in that place, taking care of his children whom he loves. That God's presence is with them. And that you can just imagine, like, Norm would be there making faces at him. Making them laugh, you know. I believe that infants belong to the kingdom. This isn't something that we give as a privilege. It isn't something that we bestow as a right. It's something that is theirs by their birthright. And I believe that before they get a sense of this world, they're still transitioning from the previous one, and God is with them in that time. Again, that's just me. That's not official church teaching. Don't quote me on that. But it's a beautiful picture for me. And it gave me a lot of comfort knowing that the author of love and his guardians will be looking out for Will, and they look out for Lexton as he sleeps. And through his parents, Nate and Bree, God's love continues to pour out on him and will continue to pour out on him throughout his whole life. And through him and his loving relationship with God, God's love will pour out for all of us. Because listen to what Jesus says next. He said to them, verse 37, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Whoever receives him receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. By what we're going to do here today in receiving Lexton into the kingdom, we continue the process of receiving Christ into our lives. And we receive Christ, and as we do that, we continue to receive the love of the Father himself. You see, what we're about to do is a very holy thing. We're so blessed to be a part of it. And to show you more about what's happening, I want to take you to Mark chapter 1. beginning at verse 9. It's very short, and it's all that Mark gives us, but I believe that it's very powerful. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Now, I want to take a few minutes to take that apart a little bit so we can examine some things. Jesus here is being baptized, and he goes down into the water, and he comes up out of it, and when he does, it says the kingdom of heaven is revealed. There's a veil torn, and you can actually see heaven in that place. Through Jesus' baptism, heaven was torn open, and the way began to be made for us to be there, living in God's presence for all eternity. Just like Lexton lives in God's presence right now. Through Jesus' baptism, his journey towards living in the promised land where there will be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more selfishness or deceit, and where the enemy will have no dominion. A kingdom where God is king and we are all his princes and his princesses in his kingdom. And then the very next thing that happens is the Spirit of God descends on him and rests on him, anointing him. And in a few minutes, the Holy Spirit will come down in this very place and will rest on Lexton and will anoint him as a sign that he will be with him through his entire life, that God will be there comforting him and guiding him, protecting him and speaking to him, always continuing to draw him towards God and his presence. The Holy Spirit will be Lexton's eternal companion, guiding him through the complexities of this life. But he'll never be alone. Even when the time is darkest, he'll never be alone. And if you are baptized, this is your life. You have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. You have him living in and with you at all times, giving you strength and comfort, being to you what no human can ever be, a source of love, a source of comfort, a source of peace, so that when people betray you and people reject you and people look down on you, he'll be there saying, "No, no, no. You belong to me. You belong to my kingdom. You're not alone. I'm here with you." But look at what happens next, because the story doesn't end there. Through his baptism, Jesus is revealed for who he truly is, a citizen and son of the king. And notice here that Jesus did not become the child of the king at this time. This is not where they said, now he's the child of the king, now he's the son of God, now he belongs to the kingdom. It says he was revealed as what he already was. What we're going to be doing up here in a few minutes is the same process. We're not going to be turning him into something that he's not already. He already is a member of the kingdom. And Jesus, when he was in the water, he sanctified them. And he set them apart and he redeemed the waters. For through the water of this earth, citizens in the kingdom are revealed to us. Yeah. I heard a story one time, and I believe it to be true, that in terms of molecular science, when you start to study it, and you take water, and you look at it real closely, and then you take that and you begin to break it down, and break it down, and break it down, and break it down, there's so many small pieces that in the process of evaporation, the water separates, and the parts separate apart, and they go up into the air, and they mix around like crazy, and then they reattach themselves when it gets too cold, or when the pressure's just right, and it falls down, and then it evaporates again, goes up, and then it falls down, condenses, and comes down, evaporate, condense, evaporate, condense, evaporate, condense. For 2,000 years, this has been happening. And in terms of statistics, if you take every little piece of water that made contact with Jesus' skin, mathematically speaking, every ounce of water that we have in the world today, some essence of it has come into contact with some piece of the water that's made contact with Jesus. The very water that we have up here, ready to reveal Lexan for who he truly is, as a citizen of the kingdom, has already made contact with Jesus himself. That's just science. Don't you love science? All right, I'm getting too excited. I got to calm down. Lexan will be revealed in the same way that Christ was, as a citizen in the kingdom of heaven and a son of the only living God, a prince of heaven. Prince Lexan. I like that. You see, he already belongs there, but the water reveals it to us. Remember about that citizen who was born American? And how when his birth certificate was signed, he was revealed as having the rights and the privileges of being here? It's the same thing. He already has those rights and privileges, but we're now revealing it like the signing of a birth certificate. He will continue to live in God's presence and to enjoy the rights and privileges of being a child of God. He'll never be alone. Even if he forgets, even if he doesn't act like he's a child of God, even if he runs away from who he is, God will still be with him, drawing him to himself, loving on him, and letting him know that he's not alone. Never letting him forget who he truly is. You know, I always wonder if this country's opinion of Christians in the church would be different if we in the church treated people as though they were born as citizens in God's kingdom. If we stop treating them like they're the enemy. If we stop treating them like they're bad. But if we started to see them as he sees them. As a son or daughter who simply isn't living like it. A son or daughter who simply hasn't claimed and lived out their birthright. Or they may have simply never heard that this is theirs. If you're here today and you've not been baptized, I want you to recognize that Lexan here today is not being made a citizen of the kingdom today, but his citizenship is being revealed. His status as a child of God, a prince in his kingdom, loved, comforted, protected by God, especially when we're broken. God is broken with us and feels our pain with us. And when we don't know where to go, and when we feel like we're all alone, God fills in the gaps and completes us and gives us the strength to carry on. And all of this is only revealed at his baptism. We're not giving him anything he doesn't already have. His becoming one with God is revealed. But his birthright existed before his baptism. He belonged to the kingdom before this day. And if you're sitting here today and you are not baptized, I want to know that this is your status too. You're in the same place as Lexan. You belong to heaven. Your citizenship is there with God. You have a birthright as a prince, as a son of God, as a princess, as a daughter of God. You don't have to become anything else. All you need to do is realize who you are, to walk in the kingdom. And at your baptism, your true identity and your birthright and your heritage will be revealed. And the God that you knew from the very beginning of your life and your infancy, who continues to speak to your heart, his spirit will be given as a sign that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you have been baptized, but you've simply not been walking in your baptism, know that it's never too late. It's a birthright. An identity that can never be taken away. And you might be thinking, Father, you don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the thoughts that I've had. You don't know how much I've yelled at God, how much I've hated him. You don't know who I am. But I'm here to tell you today that there is nothing that you can do that will remove you from the love of God. He is still with you. He still loves you. He still is ministering to you. And he continues to minister to every person here. and every person in this world, whether or not they choose to walk with him. He's not angry. Our God is not an angry God. He will never betray you and will never mistreat you. And there is nothing that you can do that will remove you from the love of God. There's nothing that you can do that causes you to lose your citizenship in this kingdom. Nothing you can do to lose your birthright. Nothing that you can do to revoke your status as a prince or a princess, as a son or a daughter. But you can't keep turning away from him. All you need to do is to claim your birthright and to walk in the life that is yours, to return to a life of being a citizen of heaven. Continue to strive to be like little Lexi. Continue to be like him, to live in the gift of the new innocence that God has given to you. Live in the selflessness and the humility and the greatness of the infant child. Live out your baptism. And in every day of your life, let your citizenship in the kingdom be revealed and your true Father made known. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. We're going to begin the prayers of the people at this point. If we could start to begin to get him ready, and if someone could go grab the children from Children's Church, that would be great.